to Aussie Tech Heads, podcasting live from the Secret Hub Studios on the Gold Coast, Australia. Sit back, relax, and listen for a while. Who knows? You might learn something.
It's a very good welcome, everyone. Another episode of Aussie Tech Heads, episode 457. And it's on the 1st of October, 2015. Don't forget to set your clocks forward this weekend if you're in New South Wales, Victoria or Tasmania. And the show, live show, will move from 7:30 p.m. Eastern to 8:30 p.m. in New South Wales, Victoria, Tasmania, but still 7:30 in Queensland. Try and work that out if you dare. All right, we are brought to you by athwebhosting.com.au. If you need some web hosting, go there. You can get some nice, affordable web hosting on servers on Australian soil, and go your hardest. Do your own emails, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, get cracking. All right, we've got some hosts tonight, some co-hosts. We'll go around the grounds. We'll go to who we got first. Eric is coming up first, so let's say hi to Eric. Hey, Eric.
Hello, gentlemen. How do you do? Good night last night on Blab.
Oh, well, excellent. We'll talk about that for those who are interested. We'll talk about our International Podcast Day Hour a little bit later on, but we've got to talk to Will first because he's a big part of the Blab as well. So hi, Will. Welcome to the show.
Evening, gents. How are we doing?
Good, good. How's your week been?
Oh, busy, mate, busy. Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing all sorts of weird stuff this week, I tell you.
That's the go.
I have internet that works.
Good.
I have records, so I haven't had to restart.
Good.
We've had streams that have worked. We've had shows that have been successful. What is going on this week?
I have no idea.
Oh, you just jinxed it.
There was a full moon. So
that it was a blood moon, wasn't it?
Oh, really? No. Full moon.
Yeah.
It was as big as bloody anything last night, wasn't it?
It was
great. I didn't see it. I went straight to bed.
It was pretty intense, wasn't it?
It was. Now, look, if you didn't know, yesterday, the 30th of September, was the International Podcast Day, and the organisers organised a 24, I think it was more than 24 hours, but it was a continuous podcast stream, and it included multiples. I didn't count them up, but there was more than a dozen at least. And everyone had an hour. We got an hour. We went from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Australian Eastern, and I think that was about 3 a.m. in California. So, you know, probably a lot of people snoozing over there at that time, didn't want to wake up. Maybe some people set their alarms.
Why not?
Yeah, I heard some people set their alarms just to wake up and have a look. But anyway, we got on and it was great. We found a new platform, the blab.im. It's a streaming platform. Only gripe is that it's 4.3 and not 16.9. That's right.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just
not quite high enough frame rate for anything other than a normal podcast at the moment. But it's getting there. Not bad for a free platform. Can't complain too much.
And there's a lot of viewers on here, so the exposure's quite good on Blab.
Yeah, I think, look, when we were on, we took over from some Germans and that was a bit tricky because, you know, we're going, oh, I just listened out for the word Aussie. As soon as I heard Aussie, I went, click, we'll come in there. But, yeah, that was good. We handed over to some Scottish guys and, just went around the world hour after hour. It was great. We did our little segment we did. And, look, I think Will's recorded it. Will be on YouTube at some stage in the near future.
Just got to clean the audio up a little bit and it'll be up there.
Yes, not from swearing, but there's a little couple of clicks in there.
Oh, no, we don't swear here.
Given that our segment was on, you know, make sure you got clean audio and everything in your podcast, so I figured I probably should clean it up a bit before we release it.
Yes, but we also spoke about how to podcast for free or on a very limited budget. So, you know, there's no need to spend hundreds of dollars a year hosting somewhere. We'll tell you all how to do it for free. So look out for that Blab. I don't know if they record Blabs or whatever they do, but it'll be on YouTube. So go to youtube.com/AussieTechHeads and make sure you subscribe and you'll get that in your inbox as soon as that goes up. Okay. Well, let's have we finished with that? You got anything else to say about the podcast day? I think it went well. I caught a couple of shows, a couple of other Australian ones. It was really good. I look forward to the next one. Loved it.
Yes.
Loved taking part. It was great.
It was a very, very intense one-hour period.
Yeah. Yes.
We can do a show like this without a problem and seems pretty laid back and cruisy, but that 1 hour of live stream to the world seemed pretty intense for some reason.
Will was stressing.
Yeah, Will was freaking out.
No,
sweating bullets.
It's not as if the show doesn't stream live to the world anyway, Will.
It's because it was like 45 degrees in my room last night.
Well, there you go.
That's the middle of winter. What's going on?
Well, it's spring. I've got the fan on. I've got the window open and I'm sweating.
Yeah, that's no good. That's probably all that servers that behind you pumping out all that air.
Could have been the vindaloo you had for dinner.
It's not those five monitors in front of you, though, would it?
No, it wouldn't be that.
They're only LCDs. They don't put off that much heat.
No, it wouldn't be that. No way.
What about the boxes that are running them?
Yeah, that's right.
They're just out of arm's reach, so they shouldn't be too bad.
I reckon Will's got heat coming just from the friction of the electricity meter spinning around.
Tell you what, you know, listen, in winter, seriously, you can walk into this room in winter and it's the only room in the house you don't have to wear a jumper.
Yeah, right. Well, there you go. How do you like that?
It's a little warm in here.
All right, look, let's start. Look, let's kick it off with a story that I found interesting. There's been a lot of talk about Uber and how everyone hates Uber. Well, the taxi people do anyway. And
I'm against Uber. I'll let you know now. I'm not going to. I will remain out of this discussion because I do not like Uber. I think it's unfair. Well, they're not. They should be regulated like the taxi drivers are.
Your audio is doing strange things, Eric.
Sorry. Did you hear? I'll say it again.
No, we heard.
You heard.
Good.
Really, all right, really loud. Good.
Yeah. So, well, look, Eric, you can have your say. We don't mind you having your say. But let me. I'll do the story first, and you can tell us why you think that. I think it's a good idea. Personally,
I've got no problem with the concept itself. Uber. I think it should be. I'm a free market guy. You know that, Glenn. Well, but it's got to be a level playing field.
Yeah.
The taxi driver should not have to pay $300,000 for a plate, and Uber doesn't. They're not regulated. They don't have to pay insurance like workers' comp, public liability, none of that.
Mm.
Now, you level the playing field, Uber away.
But you can't take that out on Uber. That's the government's fault.
That's right. Exactly. It's the government's unwillingness to act and tell them, hey, hang on, that's fine, but you've got to comply with X, Y, and Z, and they haven't done that.
So put that aside for a second. This week in Canberra, the government announced it will be the first jurisdiction in the country to embrace ride sharing and introduce legislation to ensure UberX is part of the way Canberrans get around the capital. So we've got this Chief Minister Barr. He's listened to the people of Canberra, the whole five of them, and has taken action to bring more transport choices to consumers and increased opportunity for drivers. So it's probably, imagine that, all the when the limos, they go around, they drop all the pollies off, you know, to their dinners and high teas, they'll just pick up their phone and Uber themselves around. They get a bit of money on the side.
But that's fine because they're already licensed under the Hire Car Act. No problem. They're already covered. It's the new guy. It's you and me. Like, you know, I get in my car and go, right, I'm going to take someone down the road for $10, you know, 1 minute here, 1 minute there. That's the issue. It's the unregulated stuff.
So anyway, like I also heard that this week New South Wales, I think it was actually suspending the registrations of cars that were operating as Uber. They haven't done too many, about, I don't know, 40 or something. But isn't it different? Isn't it ride sharing? You know, this is where it's going to come down to a legality.
Ride sharing, you shouldn't be charging if you're ride sharing.
From 30th of October, the government reduced costs of drivers and taxi owners, halving the taxi licence fee in 2016, halving again in 2017. Annual licence fees for hire cars will also be reduced. Only taxis will be allowed to make curbside pickups and use ranks, and ride shares having to pre-range fares only and no curbside pickups. A rideshare driver will have to pay $50 per application fee, $65 for a vehicle inspection, and $45 for a police check. So they are slowly starting to
that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
But what about all those guys who already paid $300,000 for their license, for their cab license?
That's the right.
It's all well and good to halve it now and then halve it in 2 years or whatever. So in the end, a taxi license might cost you $30,000, which means more people will drive taxis, which is a good thing. And they have more privileges than, you know, the limo drivers and the Uber drivers because, you know, they can pick up at taxi ranks and the others can't. And that's what you pay your 30 grand for to get that advantage, and that's fine.
Yeah.
What about the guys that paid 300 grand?
That's the bad part, isn't it?
That's the issue.
Yes.
I've got no problem. If they halve it and halve it, even if a taxi license is 10 grand and UberX guys have to cough up a couple of $1,000 a year to stay on the road, fine, good, go for it.
But you're right.
It's the current guys that I feel for, not the concept in general. Because I think more competition is better. We all know what taxis cost; they cost a bloody fortune.
Mm.
mean, there's been a lot of taxi owners who have sold their licenses or forfeited their license to go and drive for UberX. So I don't know.
That's
a decision, a personal decision over at the moment. But they've got to wear that loss. It's real money they've had to throw away.
Look, I was talking to a Canberrian today, and I said, what do you think about this coming in there and taxi drivers and whatever? And he just basically said, look, there's not enough taxis. You can't get a taxi to the airport half the time. You ring them up, you book it, may or may not come. And, you know,
no, that's true.
And that's why
true.
People have got...
In all cities.
Yeah.
In all cities.
Yeah, and, that, you know, I suppose Canberra, smaller place, admittedly, but look, they're willing to take it on. And look, I don't know what happens to the 300,000 taxi plates. Like, they've just devalued overnight. You'd be spewing if you had one.
Imagine if you bought a house and no one told you they were building a homeless shelter next door.
Mm.
Yeah, overnight, your house, your value would be halved.
Well, I don't know. I was talking to we've got half a dozen taxi companies as part of our work that we maintain. And I was talking to a couple of them the other day, and they said they haven't bought a taxi license in over 15 years.
Yeah.
Well, it might be different in Queensland, but it's definitely not the case here in New South Wales.
They haven't bought one because they haven't needed to. They've hit their quota. They're out, and they haven't needed to buy anymore. So they've well and truly paid for their taxi licenses anyway.
Mm. But anyway, that's all about Uber and taxi. I've never done it yet. I haven't tried one. I'm keen to. I will. But,
to tell you the truth, I will stick with taxis. I find them a little bit more, you know, they've got all the security gadgets in there and the cameras and all the shields and whatnot. Now, no one who drives, who has a normal car, is going to spend all that money fitting out their car, and you don't know who you're getting, really. Get in the car with Charlie Manson.
No, well, they do police checks.
How many people have got through police checks? They used to do gun checks too on people that used to buy guns. That didn't really stop Martin Bryant.
Because he didn't do it.
Hey? Oh, no. Here we go. Conspiracies.
Oh, get your tinfoil hat.
Yeah. Martin Bryant landed on the moon.
That never happened.
The moon?
The moon never happened.
Oh, there's a denier.
Never happened. Right. Okay, then if the moon happened, why haven't they gone there since?
They've been there, done that.
No, doesn't. No, crap. All right. Henry Ford invented the car. All right, well, that's it. No more. We don't develop another car. We're not going to make it better. That's it. 100 years later, we're still driving the Model T.
There's nothing to do up at the moon.
It's not the point. They haven't done it since.
Oh, look, I reckon. Look,
load of crap. They never went up there.
Yeah,
no. And if you watch the footage, there is no wind on the moon, and that flag is flapping away like a tuck shop lady's arms.
That bloody show, what was it? Mythbusters. They myth-busted that. Exactly that myth. But anyway, let's not get buried.
Don't forget, they're paid by the government.
Let's not get buried in moon dust.
Not anymore, don't
it? What's brought your attention this week, Eric? Anything exciting?
El Capitan was released today for those who have Macs.
Right.
And I think I heard that there's another iOS software update. Glenn,
well, there probably should be because my phone does freeze a bit.
Mine has. Success. My banking apps do freeze, and I don't know if that's an iOS issue or the banking app issue.
Mm.
And it only happens with one banking app, so I'm assuming it's that.
I know my Dan Murphy app doesn't open. Spewing, missing out on all those points.
Oh, BWS.
Oh no.
Okay, there is an update. I just got it here. It fixes an issue with the setting to turn on or off app mobile data usage. So what's happening is you turn it off and it's actually not off. So you think you're on Wi-Fi, but you're not. Well done, Apple. Good on you.
Mm.
Resolves an issue that prevented iMessage for activation. Could have done with that in Singapore, you dicks.
Now, everyone knows to turn that off, don't they? Did we talk about that last week? Switch to 4G if your Wi-Fi is low.
Yes, turn that off.
Yes, I'm not sure where that is.
It's called Wi-Fi assistance.
And it's in under the Wi-Fi, or where is that at?
No, I'll tell you where it is.
Because what can happen is if your Wi-Fi is low, it just switches you to 4G, and away you go, movie.
Away you go. General.
Stream that movie you love five times, and then you get your bill, and your eyes pop out of your head. Yeah, look, we'll wait. We'll wait for Eric to get those instructions before we move on. Are we going to move on?
Move on, and I'll scream it out when I get them.
All right.
I did it myself.
Now, as you know, we haven't had a show since your iPhone came out, have we? The 6S?
I don't think so. No, show me your 6S. You haven't shown it to us.
Here it is. Well, it's going to look exactly like a 6.
Did you get the gay-coloured one?
No, I got the space grey.
Oh, pensioner grey. Okay.
Yeah, after the moon landing.
Retirement grey. Yes. Good on you.
And I'll tell you a funny story about this. My wife got one as well. And so anyway, so I got mine and I put this little plastic cover on it, right, for the back of it, little plastic cover, you know, and I was going to go down the shop and buy a screen cover, which I have done. There they are. I'm going to try and put them
on. Hey, what a surprise.
Still in the box. What a surprise.
So I unwrapped her phone, you know, updated it and all that, you know, installed it, whatever you have to do to it. And so, you know, when you open up, the Apple has got the flip around protective film. So it's just like a screen protector, but it's one. Okay. So I thought, okay, well, we won't have to put a protector on this because there's already one there. I can put the back cover on, you know, and I just cut a little bit off so she could use the button. Happy days.
Yes.
Happy days. So I thought, yeah, cool. So a couple of days went by and then she goes, oh, look, there's something wrong with my phone. And she's going, what? I said, why? What's wrong? You know? And she goes, well, I can't hear people properly.
Oh, no.
And so I'm listening to it. And then every time the speaker comes on, it goes clink. And then you can't hear it. And you go, what? What? That's stuffed. So anyway, I said, you're going to take that to Apple. I'll just give you a new one. You know, there's something wrong.
Oh, no, I know what you've done.
So she rings up the Apple shop or rings up the Apple dudes. I think she spoke to an Aussie. So she rings up Apple and the guy on the phone goes, have you, so this is a new phone. And she goes, yeah. And she goes, have you taken the film off that covers the speaker? So because I left that film on it, the screen protector, it was actually over the speaker at the top as well, which was muffling it. So she rips it off and away she goes. Nothing wrong with
good
it.
Good on you, Glennie.
Nothing wrong with it. Yeah, I got the blame for that. All right. Did you find that setting?
No, I had it. I can't find it now. Have they got rid of it?
Look, I put it on the Facebook. It's on facebook.com/AussieTechHead. So,
called Wi-Fi Assist.
Yeah, go and like the page and you'll see the post. It's not too far from the top. So that's where it is. But anyway, look, Will's got heaps of stories this week to get through. So let's go and find out what he's got. What do you got, Will?
A couple. We're talking pre-show to some of the chat in Blab, actually. They're talking about the NBN. Well, the first of two national broadband network satellites has blasted off into space, bringing fast internet speeds a step closer to regional Australia. The satellite, named SkyMuster by a 6-year-old Northern Territory student, Bailey Brook, of course, was launched from French Guiana. Guiana? Guiana? That's spelled
wrong. Ghana. Ghana.
Yeah. This is going to say, I'm sure that's spelled wrong in the news, but anyway. The rocket got up to a speed of more than 3 kilometres per second as it covers 450... Well, so it should, otherwise it's not going to... Anyway. So basically, many homes and businesses in regional rural Australia will rely on dial-up speeds, little or no access to commercial broadband. This satellite will help close the divide. Both rockets are designed to deliver satellites that offer broadband to more than 200,000 rural and remote businesses While they launch today, the satellites won't be online until early next year. There has been some controversy surrounding the NBN satellites, which concern whether or not they'll be able to handle the traffic. Speeds of 25 meg have been promised to rural users, but experts have warned that during peak periods, the connections could grind to a halt. Like anything, of course, like 4G, like anything, it's going to, you know, once you load it up, it's going to collapse. They do have a high... I was reading specs on another page I can't find at the moment. They have a pretty high throughput on these particular satellites, but the bottleneck's actually with the... not in the satellite itself. It's actually with the ability to transmit and receive to and from the satellite. So we'll be able to... normal satellite is not too bad for average browsing. Hopefully they don't restrict it too much and they have a semi-decent upload. And the one thing that, of course, does kill you with satellite is your ping, especially if you're a game player. The ping, of course, is how long it takes for the information to get from your computer to the site back to your computer. So if you've got ADSL, for example, you ping Google, you might have, let's say, 25 milliseconds.
Yeah.
If you have brought in a cable, you might have a ping of 15. If you've got the NBN, you might have a ping of 5 milliseconds or 3 or 2 sometimes.
That's pretty good.
But if you've got satellite, it's potentially 100. Upwards of a second for a round trip. So
The ping's pretty important, I think, especially if you're a gamer, as you said. But, yeah, look, it's better than dial-up for those guys out in the country.
Oh, absolutely, so, absolutely. I mean, and not all of them had access to dial-up either. A lot of them just didn't have it full stop, so... Mm.
Look, I'm going out to people's places now, and they've got the Optus dongle, and it's just pus. It's like two down, you know? Mm. And it's a 4G dongle. I don't know what's going on. But
I don't know, because I know with Telstra, I can get 100 down and 40 up regularly when I tethered my phone. So I wonder if I think a lot of the problem with those dongles particularly, they're just not powerful enough to actually transmit and receive that speed.
Mm. Yeah, look, I don't know. I just charge people $10 and I just use my hotspot my phone and download what I have to download.
That's
easy enough. All right. Now, look, we all like the zip files, don't we? We all use zip files. But there's been a problem with them. Well,
I use RAR. I don't think I've used a zip file in 15 years.
I don't like RAR.
Well, RAR, really? Well, why not?
RAR. I don't know. It's just poxy.
I prefer a zip, personally, as well.
I'm a RAR. File.
Well, anyway, I do zips with WinRAR. So anyway, WinRAR is the one that's under attack.
Give me PGP.
Or what's a TGZs?
Tarzip. Tarballs.
The Tarballs. Now, an unpatched critical remote code execution vulnerability within the WinRAR SFX archive feature has been revealed by a researcher. Good on it. The flaw affects the WinRAR SFX version 5.21, putting around 500 million users of the application at risk. The flaw enables hackers to remotely execute system code and compromise your machine. Now, according to the blog post, a remote attacker could create a compressed file and execute code on the victim's computer when the victim opens the infected compressed file. But, okay, so we've got a heading that says the WinRAR is under attack. But it's not really. It's a little virus someone's compressed and sending around. And if you open it, you're gone. So it's not really a problem with the WinRAR. And that's probably reflected in the statement that WinRAR has put out. In an official statement, the RAR Lab, who are the makers of WinRAR, said that the executable files are that all executable files are potentially dangerous by design. We can say that limiting SFX module HTML functionality would hurt only those legitimate users who need all HTML features, making absolutely no problem for a malicious person who can use previous version SFX modules, custom modules built from their UNRAR source code, their own code or archive executables for their purpose. Whew, that guy knows what he's talking about, doesn't he?
He busts because I couldn't understand a word you said.
Yeah,
pretty much.
So there you go. So look, there's been a little problem with zip files or the RARs, and look, it all comes back to if you don't know the sender that's sending you one, you maybe want to question what it actually is, and maybe don't unzip it. So that's just normal.
We regularly get emails at work, especially because we have an info@email address, and that's just asking for trouble. But you get emails. Oh, please. Please accept our quote so that we can get a response from you. And they send you a quote.zip and you're like...
Yeah, good story.
As if you're going to open that.
Yeah, that's right. Look, I could probably go to my spam file right now and I get rid of this every day. And look, we've got... I get these all the time too. Subject, can we talk?
Yeah. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
I've been sending you those for ages. Why haven't you been responding to me?
How are you? Hey, how are you? We can find you more customers, increase your sales by using our email services.
I got one of those today.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just everywhere, aren't they? And then
page one ranking on Google.
online business for sale.
No. And you see the company name. You know, I always look at the, you know, I always try to make the companies really official, like, you know, Online Marketing Institute, and then their email address is z35@godknowswhat.com.
It's all the Gmail or bloody Yahoo or
Hotmail.
Or Outlook.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Outlook.com.
Yeah. Or hamster.com or something. Yeah. Something ridiculous. All right. What else have you got for us, Will? Anything's
new on? Email from William Tomkinson to William Tomkinson regarding William Tomkinson.
Oh.
Sounds serious.
That sounds important.
You better get William Tomkinson onto that.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kmart, which there's two things I have find interesting with this story. One is they're calling Kmart a discount homewares chain store.
All right.
That was my first issue I had with this article. Apparently, Kmart customer details have been hacked. Australian discount homewares chain Kmart is under investigation following a data breach that occurred in early September, which saw the personal details of its online customers hacked. The Kmart has employed an IT forensic investigator, just one, after the personal details of its online customers were hacked. Wesfarmers' own company said no customers' credit card or other payment details have been compromised. Oh, however, customers' names, email addresses, home addresses, telephone numbers and product purchase details have been accessed in an external breach of privacy.
Oh, didn't Target, they're owned by Kmart. They own the same barrel. They went through a privacy breach.
Wesfarmers.
Yeah.
Kmart owns, Wesfarmers owns Kmart.
Is it Wesfarmers?
No, it's one of them. I can't remember which one.
Coles is Wesfarmers.
Yeah, well, yes. Kmart is Wesfarmers as well.
Yeah, and Target.
Coles and Kmart, yes. Yeah, so Target's different.
Oh, is it?
I think Target might be owned by the same people that own Just Jeans and aren't all that sort of thing.
Meyer, David Jones?
No.
No, I don't know.
No, it's not David Jones. It could be Meyer. I'm not sure.
No, I think I thought it was – well, because you can get flybys at Target, you get flybys at Coles. I thought they were all in the bed.
You get flybys anywhere, mate.
Yeah.
They're useless.
They point count up over time. Yeah.
This breach only impacts a selection of customers who have made shopped online, wow, with Kmart Australia. A statement from Kmart said, if customers have not received a message from Kmart Australia regarding the situation, they have not been impacted. Basically, in June, grocery giant Woolworths had to cancel over... Man, I should have proofread this and sent it back to them. In June, grocery giant Woolworths had to cancel orders over $1 million worth of shopping as a result of data breach. Purchase history was data breaches affected customers who purchased vouchers as well as e-gift cards plus other stuff. So basically, in the last 12 months, if you've made a purchase online, your name, email address, home address, and phone number have been compromised.
Mm. All right. A color for clarification, Wesfarmers owns both of them.
Who? Kmart and
Target. I just checked.
Yes. I thought Target was wrapped up in there.
And also another interesting thing I just noticed in this really well-written document is that apparently it's a Wesfarmers.
Yeah, W-E-S without the T.
Hmm. Which is what it should be, but it's not in this. It's Wesfarmers.
Yeah. Who wrote that? Probably some 30-year-old seasoned journalist.
Who wrote it? Let's see. Does it actually have their name on it? No.
Name them. Name and shame.
Look, what I find a bit frustrating recently. I wonder.
Asha Babashkakow.
That sounds like a song.
Oh, you know what? They've outsourced that article.
That's probably what it is.
They've outsourced the article.
Some 12-year-old in a sweatshop.
Fiverr.com.
iTunes.
Well, you know, we haven't had a security scare for a while. Why not? Let's
Why not?
Turn them around.
At the hands of Ken from Bombay.
Probably wrote the article at the same time he was breaching the
He's secret. Hacking one hand writing and the other hand hacking.
And creating web pages with his feet.
Yeah, no,
with one foot, he was answering the phone for Dell with the other one.
That's right. Upside down, Miss Jane. Now, Look, other shows that you might be interested in. Look, we do have some on Aussie Tech Heads. We've got the Aussie Mac Zone. These are all on iTunes. Obviously, Aussie Mac Zone talks about apples
and oranges
and lemons and all that sort of stuff. It's on iTunes. Just go search for it, eh? There is a video as well. You can find the video on youtube.com/AussieTechHeads. You can find other shows, such as the greatest two podcasters in the world have the Old Fart Geeks podcast. Now, look, this...
You heard right. Old Fart Geeks.
Yes. That's right.
Now, this is...
Old Geek Fart. So if you're sending... Twitters to us, don't send it to old geek.
Don't send it to old geek farts because you might like it's smelly.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want smelly tweets. Now look, that's latest episode, very interesting interview with the founder of Microbee?
The Australian branch of, yeah. He basically bought the license to reopen the stores.
Yeah, so there you go. So go search for that on iTunes. It's up there. You got the Obsidian Loft, which Will and his cohort Warlock. The Obsidian Loft and Old Fart Geeks.
Yep. So Old Fart Geeks is effectively retro tech. What got us into tech? What we enjoy about it? What our old memories of it? That sort of stuff. Old Fart Geeks was primarily Minecraft based. It's now sort of turning into just a general gaming podcast, and we do streaming and all that sort of stuff as well.
You know what your opening music should be for Old Fart Geeks? Reminiscing by the Little River Band.
Yeah, that'd be good.
If you get the license to that.
You wouldn't get the license, but you'd have to pay them a royalty every time you played it.
But I think, doesn't Glenn Choi get a bit antsy? He's antsy about that sort of stuff.
Oh, you know, he hates it. Yeah, after he lost his hair, he's all over the place.
Yeah. Well, he's too much time reminiscing.
Yeah, lots will do that to you.
Yeah, he's reminiscing. That's right. He's looking at the mirror and going, it's not there anymore.
Now, and the other show is the Aussie Tech Security. Another episode of that is coming out next week for sure. And then it's going to move to a fortnightly release. So, there's a few out there. You can catch them all if you want to. Plus more on the AussieTechRadio.com. It's 24/7 round you go, wall to wall, back to back Australian Aussie podcast. So
don't forget ATH web hosting,
and that supplies the bandwidth for all of those little deals that you get. So
jump on everyone; it's good stuff.
If you do have an Australian podcast, tech podcast that you would like, or even a niche podcast that you feel may need some more exposure, don't forget you can send us an email and have a chat to us, and we might be able to help you out.
Yeah, we'll stick you in the round robin, but it's easy. It's free, so hey, why not? Doesn't cost you nothing. That's what we like. Now, it costs me something, but not you.
No, that's all right. It doesn't cost us anything. It's fine. It costs you as much as it wants.
Oh, the radio. It costs Will, actually.
hang on. That's two. Damn it.
Yes. All right. Now, Microsoft. Oh, we all know and love Microsoft. They're going to open a store in Sydney. Level 2.
That's the funniest thing I've heard all day.
Oh, why is that? You'd be the first one in there. You're going to camp out.
Oh, me and Microsoft?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Now, the Sydney store... I'll
make sure he doesn't go in there.
We'll be opening on level...
I'll walk past it just to have a good giggle.
Oh, come on.
Have the two people in there and they're both staff.
That's right. And one of them's only a part-timer.
One of them's the cleaner.
Or a hobo who stumbled in.
The other one's only a part-timer.
They opened up a homeless shelter right next door. Now, the Sydney store on level 2, which is street level, and level 3 of a Westfield Sydney in Pitt Street Mall in the heart of the CBD will open.
Oh, well, I tell you what, they've got the right spot. The foot traffic there is enormous.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you it's still going to be empty.
It'll be right.
Did you just say level 2 is street level?
Yeah.
It is on Pitt Street, yeah.
Because
the other end of it is graduated.
Yep. So anyway, it's going to open at 12 noon on the 12th of November.
Mark your calendars. Hang on a minute.
Mark your calendars. Grand opening ceremonies beginning at 11:30. So put that in there. Make sure you get the right train.
Have they got their cheesy celebration thing? You know what Microsoft do? Remember the launch of Windows 95 or Windows 7? They send out, you know, the Windows 7, party packs.
I don't know what they're doing.
I should do something obscure. Given that I'm in Brisbane, I'm the furthest one away, I should say, hey, if our video on YouTube for this episode gets to like 500 likes, I'll fly down there and do a live stream from the opening.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, do that. They'll get you, fly you down there. Tell them to put you up at the Hilton, which is just close by. across the road from the Queen Victoria Building, on about the 14th floor. It's very nice, overlooking the harbour, so looking north. And put it up there, and they can put me up there as well. I'll drive down, and I can fly Glenn down, and we'll do a podcast out the front of the store.
Yes.
And I bet you we get more of a crowd watching us than it goes in the store.
Now, look, I know you can bag Microsoft. I do really try to support it in my daily routine. I really do. Like, I do. I'm a Windows machine. But for the life of me, you know, for people who haven't listened to the show before, I've got a tablet, you know, a Windows-based tablet. There's no apps in the store. I've got to go buy an iPad. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Are you going to get yourself the iPad Pro with the pen?
The MaxiPad.
Yeah, the MaxiPad.
Yes. maybe not with the pen.
Oh, you don't have to get the pen.
It's not
compulsory.
No.
But I'm going to go all out. Pen, keyboard, MaxiPad, everything.
Everything. There you go.
Well, if you're going to do it properly.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
I want to see if the pen scratches the bloody...
Yeah, the thing.
Take it back, pen through the screen.
Take it back.
There's something wrong with this.
Yeah, something happened.
You've left your screen protector on.
Yeah. Peel it off and they send you back out with the pen still embedded in the thing. There you go. Off you go, mate.
Now, look, let me finish my Microsoft story.
All right. Sorry, mate.
Sorry. We've got some Americans in the Blab chat, and they're saying it's $100 for the pen. That's $100 US. Triple that and you get the average Australian price.
It's not that bad, Will.
Okay, $130.
Okay, double it.
Yeah,
no, it'll be $149 here.
But the thing is, $100 US,
it's probably $149 Aussie.
Yeah, but it's probably just as much pain to pay $100 US as it is to pay $140 Aussie.
That's right.
So it's still the same pain.
If you go to Japan, it's 3,000 yen.
Yeah.
So
that's right. Do they have 1 yen notes over there?
I doubt it.
You'd have big wallets, wouldn't you?
Oh, they do in Bali. In Indonesia, I went to the ATM, took out $100, and I was a millionaire.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, the ATM
I got out 100 baht, 1 million baht.
Whoa, geez.
And my wife was next to me, so I'll get her $100 too. I said, there you go. Love, you're a millionaire. Stop complaining.
Emptied the machine. Now, look, the shop, the Microsoft store, we're still going. The Microsoft store is one of the largest Microsoft stores in the world. The other in New York City will open on the 26th of October. 6 years in the making, the Sydney store will be more than 500 square metres over two floors, as well as retail sales and products to try from Microsoft and its partners. The store will include immersive video walls. And a community theatre where customers can learn how to use Microsoft products. Good.
I tell you what, I do bag out Microsoft only because they deserve it, but if they're using something like the Surface and that technology for what it's actually designed for and they've got a room for that, hell yeah, I'll be there and I'll be interested.
The Surface is a good unit, no doubt about it. But like Glenn said, there's no apps.
No, not the Surface, but that actual technology they implemented with the...
They've got it on there. You can put them on coffee tables and all that.
Yeah, that sort of stuff. And they've actually got a room full of that. Yeah, I'd go and check that out. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Oh, look, I don't mind Microsoft. I try my hardest to support it. I tried Outlook.com. I tried to get it to sync with Outlook on the desktop. It just doesn't work. You know?
Knowing how Windows roll out updates, I'm just wondering if, seeing as this was designed 6 years ago, if it's still running on XP.
What's this?
The Microsoft store. You go in there, it'll be XP because that's how they designed it 6 years ago when they released it.
Like banks. They're still running XP.
Oh, dear.
Centrelink.
Yeah. All right. So, look, I'm finished that story now. So,
it took you half an hour. Come on.
I know. So, Eric, did you have anything or are you just winging it tonight?
I'm winging it tonight. Sorry.
He's too busy texting.
I'm not actually. I'm just updating my phone.
Yeah. Good.
We should be ready for next week's show then.
Yeah.
There'll be another update.
Don't be like that. It's nearly done.
Will, what else have you
Alrighty. Found? On to the quirky stuff. 3D printers. We know they're becoming, even 5 years ago they were basically for the millionaires. They're the only ones who had 3D printers. And then they started making them a bit more viable. They reckon worldwide shipments of 3D printers will tip 5.6 million units by 2019.
Woo!
They basically they're going to reach about 250,000 units by the end of this year, 500,000 units by the end of next year, and then 5.6 by 2019. So they basically reckon that it's going from a niche market to a broad-based global market. Most businesses who do sort of anything with any form of prototyping, any form of
architects, huge on it.
Yeah, architects. Any R&D that's in, you know, in your own thing, where normally you would have to outsource to get prototypes, wait for them to get developed, to get sent back. So I can imagine the market for that's going to be huge, and it's going to get to the point they're basically saying that by about 2021, I think they said, they're pretty much, you're not really going to have a laser printer or an inkjet printer. You're basically going to have a 3D printer that just
can do it all.
Yeah, I mean, it basically has ink in it as well.
Yeah,
but it's normal paper. But
you know, the FBI are worried about 3D printers in certain cases because you can print anything, and a lot of people are printing plastic firearms, hard plastic firearms that can't be detected.
That's right.
So that's an issue which they'll have to consider, or they might just limit what sort of 3D printer you can buy. For example, if you're going to sell it to an architect, you can only print this, soft polymer stuff or whatever.
I mean, you can print food. There's actually, in the States, they're using 3D printers in restaurants that actually print food using actual...
Yeah, for the display purposes.
Eyes. No. Using actual food...
Oh, food products.
Actually food products like cheeses and things like that that are dyed and flavoured, and they're literally printing hamburgers and printing food to eat.
That's wild, isn't it? That's wild.
I don't know if I want my food coming out of a printer.
No.
Your meal is sponsored by Hewlett-Packard.
Oh, great. It's got a toner error.
Yes. You left your toner in here. Sorry.
What was it? McDonald's and what do people pull off the McDonald's one? The pickles?
The gherkins.
The gherkins.
For the roof.
Pickles. If you're in America, it's a pickle.
No, gherkins, whatever.
They're the same thing.
Well, you remember the old movie?
I love the gherkins.
Yeah,
I love them. They're the best bit.
Yeah. Remember the old movie?
No, it's the best bit.
Remember the old movie cinemas? You know, they had the stalls, then they had the lounge, and the stalls, the one at Coolangatta where I went, it was the stalls were just like, what would you call them? Canvas chairs, if you know what I mean. Like, just
like beach chairs.
Yes, and just like with some white calico, just
well done. That's classy.
Oh, it was classy. And so, like, we used to get there with McDonald's, smuggle it in, and we get the pickles, and we'd frisbee them up onto the screen, and you'd watch them just fly down the screen.
And I suppose you never roll Maltesers down the aisle either, would you?
Roll the what?
Maltesers down the aisle.
We were doing everything. We were buying the chips with the noisiest crinkle packet.
Don't worry about rolling down the aisle. Just grab the full packet and throw it at someone you hate, right in the back of the head.
We used to go up to the lounge. We used to drop stuff down. kids do.
You're a delinquent.
Drive-in.
The drive-in used to be great.
And you'd go around to the drive-ins and you'd, while the movie's going, everyone's sitting there, especially in winter when they've all got their cars on, you'd walk and you'd just shove potatoes in the exhaust pipes.
Yeah, no one could see you. Dark, and they're all watching a movie or trying to crack onto their lady, and you're just at the back there with a sack of potatoes.
Yeah, pretty much. Remember back in the day, you had 14 people would rock up in one car because you only paid a per car admission fee.
Yeah, they changed that quick, smart.
Yeah,
per person now.
Yeah, I remember I had to hide under a blanket in the back seat.
Would your mum and dad drive it out the front?
That's right.
Hide, Glenn, hide.
Yes, that's right. I was on the back with the hump.
On the floor. Everyone gets on the floor.
Yeah.
With a very dark blanket so it looks like it's the floor.
That's right.
In the old American cars that have got the boots that hold 14 people.
Well, that's right. But you could watch the movie just by parking at the back because the bonnets are so long. These big bloody Cadillacs. Jesus.
I tell you what, it's a bit off topic, but if I won the lotto or however I got that money, I would actually buy – there's a few abandoned drive-ins. There's only actually, I think, like three functioning drive-ins in Australia now.
There's one in New South Wales.
There's two in Queensland that I know of.
There's one at Beenleigh.
Yeah, one at Beenleigh.
Yeah, I know that one.
There's one up the road here at Ipswich. But I would actually buy a drive-in, upgrade it to a high-quality digital projector, upgrade decent sound, have all that sort of stuff, and reopen the drive-in. I reckon, honestly, with all the technology, with all the everything we've got now...
I reckon it'd do all right.
Yeah,
I agree with you. And I really agree with you. Yeah. So I agree with you.
You know, but that, and the other thing I would do is I'd buy a petrol station and turn it back into a service station so you can actually drive in and people will actually service your vehicle.
Oh, yeah. Dear, you have to pay a lot of that. That's going to be costly. Mm. But
people,
if you could attach to the drive-in, you could attach your service station to the drive-in, and when the drive-in's not operating, it's a diner, the old-style diner.
They'll roller skate the roller diners.
Yeah, whatever you want. Have a diner out there. It has a petrol pump as well if you want that, like a truck stop but a nice one. And then at night time, the gate's open behind the diner and you got your drive-in.
There you go.
What does it sound like something out of American Graffiti or something? I'm sure I've seen that somewhere.
Oh, you probably have.
But it makes sense because
one side of the diner, the serving window would be for the drive-in and the other side would be for the diner and the cars.
Yeah, be perfect. And honestly, I know it sounds weird with this day and age, but I honestly think that sort of thing now would be ideal because people actually, they don't know it, but people want to get away from their technology.
I agree with you.
They may not know it, but when you
do it.
Yeah, well, I think I posted on the Facebook, but I've gone to magazines. I wanted my magazine.
Yeah, well, books still sell a lot. There was a phase that everyone thought, technology is the way to go, soft copy this, digital, everything that. And then that flattened out, and I'm buying books again.
Yeah.
When the Kindle first came out and iBooks and Kindle books and all that, everything was on digital. But I went to Singapore, I had 3 paper books in my bag.
Yeah, right.
You're right. And, you know, the last trip to Singapore, I had a Kindle.
We had a gun in 2 of those books.
Yeah, 3D printer. So, you know, people are starting to think, well, I can have both. I don't have to give one up in order, you know, one doesn't have to lose for the other one to win.
That's right. Yeah.
Speaking of older tech, I was reading a story today and I just found it again. Thankfully, I can't normally do that. From Gizmodo, actually. Vinyl record sales generate more money this year than free streaming music. The vinyl resurgence is real, but artists are still getting screwed, of course. The Recording Industry of America reported that US consumers bought $322 million worth of vinyl records in the first half of this year, as opposed to $231 million from ad-based revenue, such as Pandora or Spotify. But this article goes through and saying, but in the last 12 months, more records have been stamped and produced than in the last 10 years.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right. Well, I saw a whole bunch of turntables for sale in Singapore in the electronic shops.
Yep. Yeah, right.
USB, beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
You just plug it straight into your Mac.
Yep.
Pull the record on, record it on GarageBand, Bob's your uncle.
Do Macs have USB ports?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
What are you on about, idiot?
That wasn't from me either.
Holy crap, what century are you in?
Doesn't the MacBook Air or something, they don't come with a USB?
Yeah. No, they don't come with Ethernet ports. They come with USBs and HDMI.
Who knows what Apple gets up to?
Even I know that.
Oh, I don't know. I know my
Ladies and gentlemen, your host of technology, Glenn Goodman.
Few more Fozzie Mac Zone.
Yeah, that's why I left. I kept bagging my Mac OS X. All right. Get back on track. TPG will invite more than 300,000 of its mobile phone users to take up a new offer on the Vodafone network, which would switch them from the Optus network. TPG reportedly – is that a word?
Reportedly,
$1 billion Vodafone deal. That's a lot of money. So TPG will invite its existing mobile customer base to take up the offer. Each TPG customer will be given a bonus period to try the network without obligation. TPG Chief operating officer Craig Levy told the press that each invitation will have a validity period, describing the plan as a soft approach. Now, TPG offered 4G services via Optus Network, but apparently from this week, they will no longer offer any mobile Optus services. So that's big news.
I can vouch for that because I looked on the Vodafone coverage checker today on vodafone.com.au, and on it it said 4G services are provided by Vodafone.
Right, right. So that's got to be a bit of a kick in the pants for Optus. They wouldn't be happy with that, would they?
Too bad. Offer a good service and there'd be no problem.
Well, I don't think the service was the problem. I think it was just the price. The wholesale price was the problem.
I think their service is crap.
Well, there's too many people on it, probably.
Well, possibly. All the cheapskates, like you.
I'm not on it.
You were.
I'm a deerscape.
You're a deerscape.
on what? Optus?
Look, I ring Optus people.
Optus Voter. Optus Mobile is crap.
Yeah. I don't anybody who's on Optus Mobile.
Not Why would you?
Not that I know of.
I reckon the only people that are on Optus Mobile are students.
They use that MSIM and stuff like that.
Yeah,
Macy. That runs off Optus.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. Are we talking Optus Network or Optus?
Oh, Optus.
Optus Network. Amacim uses the Optus Network. So does Boost.
Yeah, most of them do. As only, I think, was it Kogan does Telstra? I know Aldi's Telstra.
Yeah, Aldi and Kogan use the old Telstra 3G.
Yeah, the 3G. Yeah. That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Most of the other ones are piggybacking off Optus because Vodafone was crap until they started spending a heap of money on the infrastructure.
Well, that's right. Vodafone's, come good and they've snared TPG away from Optus. And look, Optus is probably surviving just on the wholesale.
Our mobile point of sale that we take with us when we're on the road at work, the iPad and the FPOS, they're actually on, the FPOS is on Telstra and the iPad is on Vodafone. And there hasn't been a spot anywhere that the Vodafone hasn't worked and Telstra has actually dropped on some places. So at the moment, it looks like the Vodafone network's actually better than Telstra around Brisbane district anyway. Mm.
Well, that happens. That definitely happens. The funny thing is, the ironic thing is, those speeds I was showing to you while I was away, Glenn.
Yes.
On my mobile.
Yeah.
How good! I couldn't believe the thing. 30 days, Singapore, right? 30 days, $50, and it was 100 gigabytes was my data limit.
That's cheaper than most people pay for landline here.
That's right. 100 gigabytes, unlimited calls, unlimited text, plus 100 gigabytes of data. For $50. No, it was $30, not 50. Sorry, it was $30.
$30.
Wow. $30. And the speed, you saw the speed.
Yeah.
And the ironic thing about it is that's the provider was the parent company of Optus, Singtel.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Go figure.
Singapore's a small little place.
Well, that's it too. You know? It's a small area. It's easier to lay out fibre and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. They'd lay a broadband network in about a month.
Yeah, it's a small little town.
So it's a small town. It's got 8 million people in it, mate.
I was going to say, all using the one cell tower. Yeah.
Singtel, single telephone tower.
There you go.
Is there any more from you, Will?
Just quickly on devices. Apple has sold more than 1 billion iOS devices since 2007. Microsoft is chasing them with 1 billion Windows 10 devices by 2018. But Google has sold 14 billion active Android devices.
No one uses them.
That's 14 billion active. They're the ones that are being used.
They're in cupboards.
I don't believe you.
They're in cupboards.
They're in cupboards. You activate them and then that's it.
No.
Still in the box.
That's active users. The actual people who are currently using them.
Well, I don't see. Speaking of seeing things in the wild, I still haven't seen an iWatch. Apple Watch in the wild?
Yeah, I have. I've seen.
You have?
Yes. One. Yes.
Who was wearing it? An Apple employee?
No, my mate Garth from the Aussie Mac Zone.
Oh, yeah, but he's a sucker for technology.
But still in the wild.
I saw one.
Oh, I haven't, like walking down the street, I haven't.
You'll never get the most random place you're ever going to see an Apple iWatch by a 14-year-old Macca's checkout chick.
Yeah, right.
Birthday present.
Yeah, stole it.
Fitbit on one hand, I watch on the other.
Yeah, right. Well,
employee of the month.
Yeah, that's what I reckon it was too. Manager in training.
Well, while you're bringing up the iPhones there, Will, the Apple reports record sales of the 6S and the 6S Plus.
Look, three.
Hey?
Three. Sales.
Three. Apple said on Monday US time and it sold more than 13 million iPhone 6S and 6S Pluses during their first weekend of availability in 12 markets, setting a record for the product, apparently. Look, I don't know. I think you could still even – you could jump on now. Couldn't you? And even up to when they were delivered last Friday, you could
some of them are out of stock. The most popular, the ones that they ordered the most of was the Space Gray, the one you've got.
Right.
But, or it's either that or the other ones, they ordered the same of everything, but the other ones are more popular. They're out of the 16 gigabyte gold and rose gold.
Right.
Actually, in the rose gold, they're out in all sizes. Same with gold. Pensioner grey, they've still got some. And the silver, they've still got some.
Yeah, look, why have they got a 16 gig phone? Why not just base it at 32?
I don't know. Oh. I don't understand that. You're jumping from 16 to 64.
Yeah. I went to 64.
What space. I want for the iPad, Pensioner the Maxi pad, is a 256, not 128.
Hey, here's an idea. Put an SD slot in it.
Oh, you can't.
No, no way. You can't. Yeah, they haven't got drills strong enough to cut into that metal.
That's right. And if you start trying to muck around with the maxi pad, suddenly you'll hear Johnny Ives just appear from nowhere, thinking the iPad is the magnificent work of art, and get your filthy hands off the bloody screwdriver.
Is that the same excuse I use for non-replaceable batteries? I suppose.
Oh no, you can replace the batteries. You can replace it with the phone and the iPad. You can replace them.
Well, look, now that the wife's upgraded, I got the 4S here that doesn't work too good because of the battery. I'm looking forward to trying to take that apart and put a new one in it.
We sell the battery replacement kits with little tool.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm after.
They're like, I don't know, $30 or something. They're actually quite popular sales, but
that's what I'm after.
Yeah, not too bad.
Have you got online shop?
It doesn't matter because you're not going to use it.
No, that's right. You're an online shop, Will?
No, we would if the person who we paid to design the website actually knew how to design websites.
Well, okay. The same guy that did that article, he'll do it.
Yeah.
He would have done a better job.
Abnil. He's got a spare foot.
He was born with three.
Yes, Will.
A couple of quick stories just to get through my load. Telco coverage... What? Haven't you been quicker to get through your load before?
Oh, you know, just...
Coverage mapping Australian open signal has...
That's a good one.
basically, the telco coverage mapping company, Open Signal, has released its Q3 2015 report into the state of 4G worldwide, reporting that Australia has increased its average download speed by 5 megabits and covered an extra 2% of the population with 4G over the past 3 months. It's dropped one place on coverage and retained the same ranking. So it is, while Optus claims the 4G network covers 90% of the population, Vodafone says it covers 96, Telstra says it covers 94. According to Signatel, Vodafone covers 77, Telstra covers 76, and Optus covers 70. And blah, 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 goes, Australia is positioned 14th in global 4G coverage. So you have, in order of speediness, you have South Korea, Japan, Hong Kong, Kuwait, Singapore, that one I can never say, Uruguay, Kazakhstan, Netherlands, Bahrain, United States, Sweden, China, Qatar, Australia.
Guitar?
Guitar. Ring, ding, ding, ding.
Thank you very much. Don't you mean Qatar?
Guitar. I didn't say guitar. I do that every time. And I know it.
It doesn't matter.
Basically we're behind, you know.
We've got an Alpha Vandalay in this chat room.
Vandalay Industries.
Vandalay Industries, can I help you?
But needless to say, we're not doing great. We were 14th overall. Australia's individual telcos, Telstra was 29th, Vodafone was 34th, and Optus was 52nd in worldwide individual respectively. So there you go. We're actually, in terms of speed, we ranked 51st.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty shocking.
Yeah. We're in 48th.
Who's in front of us, mate?
Equal 48th with New Zealand, Morocco, and Italy.
You are kidding me. Morocco.
Yeah.
Will they eat lentils and couscous?
So there you go. And another quick story, this is more of a precautionary tale. Well, it's been probably 6 months now since we've mentioned it. Basically, the world's IPv4 IP addresses have run out. The free allocations are no longer around. Ooh. And so slowly they're filtering through and we're slowly running out of IPv4. So as a heads up, if you are looking for new hardware, make sure it supports IPv6 because we are eventually going to have to go that way. But for the first time, the body responsible for allocating IP addresses in North America says its free pool of IPv4 numerical labels has been exhausted. The American Registry for Internet Numbers said it's the final free pool of 32-bit IP addresses has finished. Of the 4.3 possible IPv4 addresses in the early days of the internet seemed adequate. But as early as 1995, they started implementing the technology for IPv6 because they could foresee that we were going to run out.
Oh, they're smart, aren't they?
Oh, cookies.
Hey? Oh, smart cookies. Smart gherkins.
Yeah, mate. Or Perkins. Or whatever. What do you call it? Pickles.
Isn't he a race car driver?
What's a Perkin? I've never tasted a Perkin. Perkins paste.
You've sniffed a lot of
everyone
it.
Everyone used to hook into that.
Oh, up your nose with a rubber hose.
Yeah, that's right. The prelude to sniffing stuff up your nose.
All right. Let's look, if you want to email us, you can at Glenn, Will or Eric at aussietechheads.com.au. Tell us anything. You can jump on the iTunes, leave us a review. If it's a negative one, we'll probably bag you out. So
no, you won't. We'll take it on board, then bag you out.
We'll critique your interest.
Yeah. No, leave it in. Oh, we love it. We love it all. It doesn't matter what it is. We love getting them. So do that. No Warlock tonight, as you may have guessed. I'm not sure what he's up to, but anyway, he's up to something. He might need a note.
Obsidian Loft, maybe or maybe not on hiatus for a while. We're still a bit up in the air about what's happening with that. Old Fart Geeks is definitely a thing that's still happening. It's usually about a fortnightly-ish rotation, so keep an eye out for the next one of that as well. You can also check us out on YouTube with those and iTunes, of course.
Yes, exactly. All right, well, I think we've exhausted our run for this week. Will, you're exhausted?
Especially after last night, I'm completely exhausted.
Still recovering.
And Eric, you're exhausted?
I'm all right. I'm tired, but I'm all right.
Oh, good stuff. And I'm exhausted. So, no, not really. All right. So, thanks for coming in. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us in the lounge, aka chat room, and all those who are watching in the blab. We're going to.
Apparently, we have two streams now. We have the blab, and we also have the live.aussietechheads.com.au.
So, I'm thinking maybe we should just come straight over to the blab. That seems to be going quite well.
We may figure out if we're technologically smart enough how to implement the blab into the live.aussietechheads stream. So, there you go.
Oh, are you talking embedding?
Yes, I'm going to get in bed with that.
All right. Well, let's see how that one goes. We'll get little blabs running around.
Ooh, little blabs. Ooh. That's what happens when you get in bed with it.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so that's all that we have got for you this episode of Aussie Tech Heads. Hope to see you again next week. And don't forget the other shows on iTunes or your favourite podcatcher and also on YouTube.
Did you say poo catcher?
No, podcatcher.
Oh, right, okay. My bad.
Yes, it doesn't sound nothing like poo. It's pod.
Ah, I got you to say it.
All right. So until next episode, thanks for dropping in, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye from all of us. Ta-da.
Bye.
Aussie TechEd is produced by The Secret Hub and recorded on the Gold Coast, Australia. Please visit our website and take part in our discussions forums at www.aussietechhead.com. Views expressed in the preceding audio do not necessarily represent those of Aussie TechEd or The Secret Hub. Thank you for downloading, and we'll see you next episode. Bye for now.